Your style is unorthodox, but effective. It is not the art, but the combat that you enjoy.
Man, you come right out of a comic book.
You are now listening to Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
We are live on Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat. We are live on Black Comics Chat.
Black Comics Chat. Black Comics Chat.
Shannon, CG, Lauren, and Mel form the Nerds of Prey, a group of ladies bonded by comics, gaming, film, television, and fandom culture. Hang out with them bi-weekly as they dig into the very things that make them loud and proud nerds. Available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. Also, check out their Patreon at patreon.com/nerdsofprey.
Hi, this is Anthony Rutgazer. I'm the writer of The First Hero and Heroes of Homeroom C, and you are listening to Black Comics Chat.
All right. 1, 2, 1, 2. Black Comics Chat is back after a long, incredibly long hiatus. let me start by introducing myself. I am Anthony Otero, a.k.a. Latin Negro, a.k.a. Petty LaBelle. The driver of the Red Lion, and joining me is the man, the legend, Thelonious. How's it going, man?
Hey, man, hold it down like gravity, son. That Patty moniker, bro, that kills me every time. That kills me every time, man. I got to get more creative with my Twitter. I got to up my Twitter game because I'm lacking. Hey, but, you know, we got a fav guest on tonight. Happy to be here. We definitely gonna do our thing, man. So let's get it started.
Awesome. And just joining us, and when I say just joining us, I'm talking about she must have just hit the enter button. The woman of mystery worldwide. Grace, how are you?
What's going on? Oh my God, it's been too long.
But I'm gonna keep
it real brief so we can just dive right on into this. What's good, everybody? It's good to be here. And let's make this happen.
And, of course, our guest, a man who has been on this show more than once. I'm just going to get right into it. Sean, welcome back to Black Comics Chat. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me back on Black Comics Chat. I appreciate it. It's always a good time. You know, coming on the show. So, as always, thank you. I appreciate y'all.
For sure.
Good. And we're going to be discussing Cash and Carry Book 2. Kickstarter. Things are looking well. So I'm just going to give it to you. How's it going? Where are we with this fabulous, fabulous Kickstarter?
Well, right now, the way things are sitting, we got about 18 days to go. We are 55% funded. So that means we got 45% more to get in 18 days. And the overall goal, we're trying to raise $8,000 or crowdfund $8,000 to produce Cash and Carry Book 2. Cash and Carry Book 2 is the sequel to Cash and Carry Book 1, which was a book that was spawned from the initial Kickstarter back in 2015 for Cash and Carry, which was a pilot issue, which was like a 24-page comic or so. And because of that successful Kickstarter, in 2015 and 2016, there was Cash and Carry Book 1, which was a full-fledged OGN. It was like 72 pages. And so right now, it's been 2 years. There have been a slew of all ages or all readers, mystery books that have come into the fold, since the premiere of Cash and Carry in 2015. And I feel that it's proper time to get Cash and Carry back in the game. Now, in order to do so, I'm using Kickstarter to raise the funds proper to handle production costs, because I want to make sure everybody gets paid. I want to make sure that everybody eats, because where I live, everybody eats, B. Everybody.
I hear that.
You know, like I've been making comics and been in creative media for over 11 years now. You know, the first 2, 3, 4 years, you know, we were all trying to just get down and do it for the love. But as you get older, you realize, yeah, you know what? Love don't pay bills. You know what I mean? Love don't always pay bills. Love don't always help me with these groceries. Tumblr likes don't help with this gas money. So, you know, I got to make sure that the squad gets taken care of. And there's only so much from my own pocket that I can give. I have a 9-to-5, but I have bills. And I have groceries. And I have, you know, mortgage payments. So, you know, I have to balance out my life the best I can. So I know that Cash and Carry has a pretty good fan base. And, you know, and as a whole, I know some people have said, hey, you know, well, you've got a book out. And if you got a book out and it's sold worldwide, you know, why don't you just use the funds, you know, from this book sales to just fund Cash and Carry book two? Let me keep it real with you. Like, yeah, people like the book, but it hasn't sold enough copies. Cash and Carry book one has not sold enough copies to generate enough profit in order for me to take that dough and be like, all right, y'all, we're going to make this bomb Cash and Carry book two. Let's go. You know, I can't be out here. You know, I can't be out here being, you know, and just say, yeah, you know, we made all this money. Now we're doing a kick. No. Book one has not made the money that it needs to make. So I want to keep Cash and Carry going because I believe in it. And I believe that it is a positive and inclusive book, you know, that, you know, black kids and kids of color can see themselves in. So, you know, so just because the book one sales aren't where they truly need to be doesn't mean that, like, I need to quit. No, I want to keep going. I want to keep moving with it, and I want to move forward with it. So that is the point. That is the point of doing this Kickstarter for book two.
Sean, let me ask you a question. How many Kickstarter campaigns have you been a part of?
This is, I want to say, number, let's see here. There's, I did the Kickstarter for Fracture for Action Lab Entertainment. That was like our first ever foray into publishing. Then years later, I did Cash and Carry, and then just a single issue. Then I did a Kickstarter for the first issue of Force. I did a Kickstarter earlier this year for the graphic novel Lifted of Gods and Thieves, and now Cash and Carry book two. So this is number 5.
So, okay. So it's safe to say you have a proven track record.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead.
No. So what I was going to say is for people that might be thinking of using Kickstarter, from your, you know, again, resume, what can you tell them the do's, what are the do's and don'ts of how to stage a successful Kickstarter?
Well, you know, like say for instance, like everybody does it different, but for me, it's a thing of making sure that you use, if you use social media, you know, like social media is only going to take you so far, you know, because like we live in a world of algorithms. And now it's one thing if you've got like 100,000 followers, and like out of those 100,000, about 10% of those 100,000 are true to you. So like I don't have 100,000. I got almost 3,000. So out of that 3,000, I'm hoping I can get 5 to 10% of them on Twitter to go put a pledge in. But I just can't say I got a Kickstarter. No, I have to let people know way ahead of time. So you start like, you know, 30, 60 days out, just, you know, shooting images, letting people know this is coming, this is coming, this is coming. You know, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Twitter, you know, wherever, like, you know, Pillow Fort, let's see, Mastodon. There's so much social media out there. It's ridiculous. I can't keep up with it. You know, I'm an old man, you know, I'm 43. Like, you know, like I'm just like, yo, I came in on Twitter when Twitter was like a nice place to be before it went crazy. And, you know, and like, you know, before Jack just said, hey, let the Nazis roam free. So, you know, but like, you know, having a social media presence, it's not everything. It's just a piece of it. Also being able to spread the word, not just with social media, because a lot of us over rely on it. Sometimes you got to get out in these streets and, you know, and let people know, you know, sometimes, you know, like say, for instance, with Cash and Carry book two, it is an OGN. It's 96 pages. So I can go to my local library and say, hey, if y'all need copies of this, I have a tier available that allows you to get copies, you know, below MSRP. So, you know, there's that way. Reaching out to relatives, because all of our relatives are not on social media. And for those relatives that actually that love us and actually support us, yeah, reach out to them. You know, reach out to them, because there are relatives that love to see you get your dreams and goals out there. All you know, we all, oh yeah, hey man, hey, two is better than zero. Two is better than zero, though. You know,
stop. I'm just playing.
Yeah, wait. I'm just stuck on something. 43 is old, because if that's the case, then damn.
No. Like, I'm an old man. I'm just making jokes. That's all.
I know. So am I.
Yeah, we not card cast tonight. He's just throwing that out there, right?
You know, no. I'm saying if I shave, I get carded. Otherwise, but if I let the facial hair grow out, yeah, man, be like, no, man, you got time on you, and I'm like, yeah. I know. You know, America will do that to you. America will do that to you.
It's been a hectic week, man. So we get to kind of decompress.
So, who are you telling? It's wild. It's wild. But no, but seriously, you know, reaching out to like friends and loved ones that can support you. Or they may have people that are friends that they know or acquaintances that they know that like, hey, you know, you dig like XYZ, you might want to check this out. So like there are so many ways, there are a lot of ways to get into this, but I always tell people, and this leads to an interesting story. A couple weeks ago, I had somebody just email me out the blue, and they got my email address. They emailed me out the blue, and I won't say the person's name because, you know, confidentiality and whatnot, but, you know, they're like, my name is so-and-so, I'm an artist and a creator, and I'm thinking about making a Kickstarter and see if I can raise enough money so I can quit my job so I can get out here and do my thing and start a career. And so like, he was like, you know, what kind of advice can you give? And so like, you know, so I was just like, wait a minute. I was like, hold on, slow down. So I said, listen, I appreciate the enthusiasm. I appreciate the fact that you want to walk away from your 9-to-5 and like, you know, have a full fledged artistic career. But I said, if I told you right now to quit your job and do a big old Kickstarter and nobody knows who you are outside of family and friends, nobody knows who you are, I would be setting you up for failure, period. And it's a thing of, and I explained that, like, you have to have a balance. You know, I was like, people have to, you know, people have to see that you've done something. And I said, even if you do a Kickstarter, your first Kickstarter shouldn't be big. You know, unless like you've had a web comic that's out for like, you know, for years, and that's
got you might have to say that for the cheap seats, man. You might have to yell that again.
Okay, well, like going out and just doing a Kickstarter and just putting it out there without people actually knowing who you are or what you've done is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's one thing. Like I always tell people, start small. So like, say for instance, like there have been a lot of cats that have been doing web comics for like, you know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And they build a fan base. Mm. So when they're like, yo, I'm putting a collection together and I'm going to put it on Kickstarter, bam, those joints get funded. Okay? A lot of those joints get funded, and they get funded very easily. But just to go out there and be like, yeah, here's a Kickstarter, give me my monies, you are asking for a world of hurt. And so like I just explained to this dude, I'm like, if you want to do a comic, do a web comic. It can come out once a week. It come out once every other week. It come out, you know, weekly. I was like, but you got to prove to people that you can deliver. And after you prove to people that you can deliver and build a base, then boom, yeah, go ahead and do a Kickstarter. I said, but, you know, but to go out here and just quit everything to just do this and accomplish this dream, I was like, don't get me wrong. We all have those, you know, aspirations to do so. But I was like, don't put yourself in a situation to where it cripples you so bad you lose everything.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's real.
You know,
I'm just
and
saying to have the chutzpah or the confidence, or I mean to quit your job off of Kickstarter and not even having established your brand is like, man.
Yeah, like that's it's risky, but that's the thing though. But like the thing is that it, you know, that email wasn't sent out of like ego. It wasn't sent out of look at how great I am. It was really just sent like, hey, this is what I want to do and this is what I'm gonna try. And because it's just one of those things, you don't know unless somebody tells you.
Yeah.
You know, Because, like, you know, because, like, people can see the numbers on Kickstarter and be like, man, look at all these funded projects. If they can do it, I can do it. Once again, that's great. That having that attitude is great, especially in a very in these very negative times that we face right now. Having that positive attitude is fantastic. However, we have to put realism into it. Like, here's a perfect example. Like I said, this is Kickstarter number five for me. I've been in and out of the comic book business for 11 years. I've been in other creative fields as well. And it's a thing of there's some people that are just like, oh, okay, you're very successful. You do very well. I'm like, nah, I was like, I have a 9-to-5. 9-to-5 pays my bills. 9-to-5 takes care of my mortgage. 9-to-5 takes care of, like, you know, everything in my life. Like, comics, like, is fantastic. I love it. I love helping people. I love helping people learn about the game and learn about publishing itself. But outside of me making being at conventions and making money off of book sales at conventions, the money, like, you know, I haven't made the quote unquote monies in comics.
Right.
So, like,
right.
There's also this weird thing of is that, like, so, like, if people see me do my fifth Kickstarter, they're like, well, why aren't you fully funded? You know, you've been doing all this for so long. Why aren't you fully funded in one day? I was like, the game is different for people. The game is different for different people, you know, and it's always going to be that way. So, like, yeah, I understand. Like, I got to continue to grind to get Cash and Carry Book 2, which is on Kickstarter right now. For those listening to this podcast or I'm sorry, for those listening to this live streaming feed right now, if you go to Kickstarter.com, type CASHANDCARRIE, you will see Cash and Carry Book 2. Take a look at it. It's adorable. I love it. Dallas Cash and Inez Carey, two best friends. They solve mysteries together. It's all readers, a.k.a. all ages. It's for the kid and for the kid at heart. And it's very inclusive. So definitely go take a look at it. Okay, sorry, I had to get that advertisement out the way.
Back hold to on, Wild. Hold on. But that was like the perfect elevator speech right
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's how when people ask you, like, tell me what this is about. And, like, and you only got a minute. Like, that was spot on. Like,
oh, well, thank you.
People should learn how to do it like that. Like, that's how you sell.
No. That was the perfect elevator pitch.
Okay. Yo, man, listen, I've had a lot of people in my lifetime tell me, you got 30 seconds.
Right.
Go.
Exactly.
And you learn real quick to put up a shut up, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, that's just how it has to be. So, you know, so, like, I know the grind for me is a little bit different than others. So, you know, so, like, there's a lot of times these Kickstarters come down to the wire for me. And that's fine. You know, as long as I get the book funded, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And the thing about this one is that because it's a 96-page OGN with all new stories, all new content, the cool thing about it is that, yeah, I'm trying to raise $8,000. But once we get to $8,000, We open up a stretch goal. So if we get to our goal, we open a stretch goal. And my good friend Jacques Niem, who is a writer and comic book creator, mm-hmm. he is allowing me to give out some digital copies from his not so super comics line. So, you know, you'll be able to get free digital copies of books like This Bites, books like Humanescent, and a few other of his titles, and we're working that out right now. But you will get like a comics catalog on top of what you're getting out of this Kickstarter. And if we make it to $12,000, I can extend the book from 96 pages to 108 pages, and still ensure that people get paid. So you know, like I said, like Cash and Carry means a lot to me, and like it's my baby, like all. All my books are my babies. Don't ever get me wrong, but like this book means a lot to me because I have seen firsthand all of the style of books in the style of Cash and Carry since Cash and Carry dropped. And that's not shade. That is not shade. Like, hey, you know, people see the wave, they get on the wave, you know, and like, hey, you know, and I'm like, hey, get in how you fit in. That's fine. But I've seen the other books that have been out since Cash and Carry dropped in 2015. As like a very successful Kickstarter. I've seen it. And I'm like, yo, Cash and Carry is still as good, if not better, than 80% of those books. Actually, I take that back. I'm being modest. It's better than 100% of them books. So, you know, like from between like me and Julie Speziani, who was the who was listed as a co-creator and co-writer of Cash and Carry, to Marcus. Marcus is doing wonders with book two. Marcus is the featured artist in Cash and Carry book two. He did a story in Cash and Carry book one. And like he came through and he delivered the goods. So when I was talking with Julie about book two, I was like, should we, you know, it's like we should get Marcus to do the bulk, like the big story in the book. And Julie was like, yeah, we got to do this. And so I reached out to Marcus. We worked out a plan and it's looking great. Like, as a matter of fact, if you go into Kickstarter right now, like the pages for book two, those are the pages that Marcus has done. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're gorgeous because like Marcus knows what he's doing. Marcus is a true professional. I ain't got to worry about Marcus. We give Marcus a script. Marcus reports to us and says, yo, this is what I've been working on. Here's some pages. Here's some colors, you know, and like I ain't never had to worry. I've never had to worry about working with Marcus. Working with Marcus has been one of the easiest things to do. And I'm waiting for an agony for like a book publisher that has a graphic novel division or a comics publisher to really just put money on the table for Marcus to be like, yo, man, we need you. Because he's that good. You know, like I've always had an eye for talent. And I'm like, no, Marcus can do this. Marcus is that damn good. So I try to give him as much money as I possibly can. And, you know, and from this Kickstarter, you know, some of that money goes to Marcus. So there's so many great things about Cash and Carry, but no, please go ahead.
No, as far as Marcus, man, I'm not an artist. I don't have artistic eye or talent. From a professional standpoint, you preaching to the choir, okay. Right?
Right.
We know how that brother get down, man.
Yeah.
Man, nothing but props, sir. So if this could be a launching pad for him, man, then you know I'm doing finger snaps because it's well deserved.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like, you know, like Marcus is that dude. Like Marcus is that dude, and I'm proud of him. And I'm proud of the fact that like he is part of something. Yeah, he is part of something that is extremely inclusive. And like, you know, so like when like black kids pick up that book, they see themselves in it. When, you know, when kids of color pick up that book, they see themselves in it. There was a story, like the story in book one that he did. There's a page where Dallas Cash is a middle schooler. He is the tenacious techie. He is, you know, he believes in the supernatural and everything like that. But he and Inez Carey are trying to solve this mystery, and they are undercover at another school. And so, in order to get to where he needs, he like busts into a classroom and he acts a fool. But when he busts into the classroom, you see all these different kind of kids from all different types of ethnic backgrounds. When you see like a hallway, like after, like, you know, like in between classes, you see all these different types. Once again, you see all these different types of kids, all these different types of ethnicities. And it's just wonderful because like, you know, for the longest time, we never really saw that in comics. You know what I mean? And if we did, every now and then it'd be okay. And sometimes it'd be like, this is kind of trifling. But like Marcus did it in a way that is just so nice. And I love working with this dude. He's a professional through and through.
Yo, y'all gonna make me cry over here.
Speak of the devil and he shows up.
Oh my goodness. Wow, man. Hey. I just walked in and people are saying glowing things about me.
So now we're gonna do a 90 degree, man. Where you been, dog?
Oh man, my bad. I had a work event, and because I was organizing the event, of course I couldn't dip out.
Hey Marcus, so. I don't have the credibility to say anything like that to you, man. I was just trying to give you a hard time.
No, I know, man. I know.
You know.
I was racing home, and then my technology was playing games with me. So, but I'm here. I'm here now.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Land it. You know what I mean? Like poof, and he shows up. So maybe someone else will show up. Maybe the entire Furious Five will be here. We don't know.
Hey.
Hopefully.
So, Marcus, since you're here and you're kind of, you know, obviously one of us, you know, a part of this project, can you talk a little bit more about, working with Sean on this project and how it feels to be the featured artist?
I mean, it's an honor. I was with book one, I was honored to be a part of the team, you know, and have a 20-page story. And then when Sean, you know, hit me up and offered the opportunity to do 60 pages of comics, you know, I was like, yeah, of course. Because, you know, I love the series, the vision, you know, the world that Sean and Julie created. It's just it's very, there's a lot of room for me as an artist to, you know, I mean, do my thing and tell stories that are inclusive, like, you know, and just really and have fun too, you know what I mean? Because it's like I get to draw, like, there's a lot of funny things I get to add in, and I like, you know, I like to laugh while I draw. So yeah, man, it's an important series, and it's something that you know, a lot of books kind of start at the teen level and above, you know what I mean? And as a father, it's a series that even if I wasn't a part of it, I would really, you know, want to share with my daughter. And it's cool now because, you know, she gets little sneak peeks. The words aren't on the pages, so she's trying to guess what's happening. But, you know, it's just, it means a lot. And, like, Sean is just a consummate professional when it comes to comics. And, you know, I can't say enough nice things about him, you know, because he knows the game and he's seen it. And obviously with us having spoken to him so many times, like, you know, we've heard some of the ups and the downs, because Sean always keeps it real about the downs, but, you know, he's persevered through it. And I think come through that with just a really strong understanding of, you know, what makes good comics and also the business aspect of it. So, yeah, yeah. And he knows how to assemble talent, you know what I mean? Because it's like there's a whole lot of people who helped Cash and Carry to get to what it is now and will continue to help it keep growing. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Marcus, what was your favorite part of working or favorite parts on working on this book two?
Book two. Man, it's funny because now I'm everything has been drawn, and I'm in the color stage. So, you know, if I could toot my own horn, I am very happy with how it's all coming together. But, like, I don't know, seeing all the color pages, seeing it take that extra life, you know what I mean, in color, I've really been enjoying that. I also just really enjoyed kind of getting in the characters, you know, because it's like there's a pretty big cast of characters compared to book one, you know. Mm-hmm. There's like the main group of kids that we're dealing with, but then there's just, you know, there's just a lot of other side kids, you know, and so I just had a lot of fun with that. I mean, if you like really study the panels, there's like, you know, I try to pack a lot of things in there as far as like what's happening at the camp and, you know, just what these kids are all up to. So I don't know. I just had a lot of fun just, you know, drawing kids and them in their little world doing their thing.
Okay, cool.
And they actually look like kids.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes. Very, very important. That's extremely important. And that's the one thing that we continue to push for with Cash and Carry, is that, you know, we want to make sure that the kids look like kids. We want to make sure that they sound like kids. Mm. And, you know, and like, so say, for instance, you know, when Julie is, you know, when Julie's running a story, like, she's got it, like, she gets it, you know, she all like, and so like, she knows how Dallas is supposed to sound, how, you know, Inez is supposed to sound. And so say, for instance, when I do a story, or if I collaborate on a story with some folks, like, perfect example, back in book one, I got to work with a very talented pair called Chris and Jen. They are amazing. I love them to death. And they did a fantastic story in book one. I shot them a few ideas. I said, well, how about this story? And they drew color. They did it all. They did a story about a little boy who goes to Cash and Carry and says, I've lost my dog, can you help me find my dog? And the thing is that come to find out that this little boy just loves to tell stories. And so it's, you know, so it's deeper than just a, hey, I lost my dog, can you help me find my dog? And they really brought out like a bunch of emotion in this story, and it's only like about an 8-pager, but they brought up so much. I was like, so I said, come on back. You got to come back for book two. And the vibe that they pull in, they make sure that Cash and Carrie sound like kids. But then they also pull in this vibe of one of my favorite cartoons of all time, and I've talked about this on the show a number of times before, is Fillmore. Fillmore was a cartoon on Disney like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it was basically a police procedural, but it was a bunch of middle schoolers that were part of the safety patrol, and the lead character was a black dude named Fillmore, and his partner was like this goth girl. And it was fantastic, and it was one of the realest cartoons ever. To this day, I don't think it's even on DVD. And
it has to be somewhere. It's digitized.
Somewhere. Gotta be. It's got to be. You know, it's got to be. You know, like on Beyonce's internet, somebody got to have it. Right. But Chris and Jen like take the vibe of Fillmore, and they're able to put it into this comic. You know, into this comic for you know comic and whatnot. And like, I love it. I love it. And like, I want kids to be able to see themselves as kids. You know, because we got like a lot of adult creators out here that write books with kids in them that don't sound like children. You know, like I don't ever expect a child when I read a comic, I shouldn't really expect a child to like sound like they're reading off the Constitution. You know what I mean? You know, like, or if they use slang that like it comes off just really weird. Like there was this one issue of and I remember seeing this panel. It was on Twitter, and it was an issue of I guess Marvel does like a Champions book, and this book's been out for a few years, but like I guess like the Champions were trying to do something, and they wanted to prove to this other hero that like, yo, we're cool or whatever. So they do this thing, and it becomes viral, and like my Spider-Man, Miles Morales' Spider-Man says, "You see that? We're lit." Nobody says we're lit. It's lit. Never we're lit. It's
lit. I remember that panel. I do.
You know what I mean? And like, and that's where like a proper editor comes in, is like, yo, man, no. It's like, lit. You know, or better yet, how about you just not use that?
So you ever see them shows, they have like the one black character and the dialogue, you could tell nobody black was writing dialogue?
Yeah.
Yeah, most shows.
Right.
You mean like Different Strokes?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much every show before. I mean, so there's actually black writers now. I mean, you know, This Is Us, all the Shonda Rhimes joints, right? But before that, man, you was just like cringe, right? And you didn't have a lot of options, so you was almost obligated to watch it because it was a black face on TV.
Right.
And you had to do your part for the cause.
Oh, yeah.
But now if there's like a black face on TV, if it's not good, you don't feel guilty from flipping channels. But back in the day, man, my mom was like, well, we're going to give this a chance. Because you only had three channels to begin with.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like we are really, honestly, for black folks, we are probably in one of the best eras for media creation. One of the best eras of media creation, because now with all these streaming services, with all of these cable channels, with all of these outlets, there is a need for, and I know a lot of people don't like using this word, but I'm just going to use it anyway. There's a need for content. And because there's a need for so much content, now all these other networks and all these other, streaming channels or whatnot, some of them are like, we can reach out. We should be able to reach out to black people and people of color and like see what they can bring to the table. And now go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and you look at content like on Netflix, like Tales from the Hood 2, and there's like a need for quality content.
Oh yeah. There's always a need for quality content, you know, but the thing is also, I will say this, like I know like a lot of us, you know, make jokes about stuff like Tales from the Hood 2 and whatnot. But the thing is this, it's different when it used to be Tales from the Hood was the only thing we got. Right. But like the thing is like if the other folks can have like stuff that ranges from, you know, Z level to A level, we should be able to have that too. You know,
well, I'm saying the bar is raised. We can be more discriminatory now.
Oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Oh yeah. We definitely can. We definitely can say. Oh yeah. We I ain't got time for that today. I ain't got time for that today. Let me watch Insecure real quick. You know what I mean? You know.
Right. You know. Right.
So like we have options. We have options. You know, like you know, it's getting. It's not. Once again, it's not where it needs to be, but the availability is a lot better. You know. I mean, like, shoot. I mean, like somebody paid Reverend Run. And paid Reverend Run money to do a sitcom on Netflix, which I will not watch.
It got canceled. You don't have to.
You know, like I would rather watch. What was that Tyler Perry sitcom? What was which one was that?
Meet the Browns.
Have not.
Yes, I would rather watch Meet the Browns, and that's saying a lot. Okay. But once again, we are at an era where like something like Meet the Browns or even that Rev Run sitcom can have an opportunity. You know, now granted, like a lot of it with Rev Run, it's a little bit different because Rev Run is a celebrity. He's a well-known celebrity.
Right.
But still, like, I don't think that would have happened. I don't think you get as much as you get now without all the stuff that we have now. And the fact that like a lot of us make our own platform now, like, yeah. You know, go
and,
ahead.
And I think the part is to be realized that African-Americans are like, well, consume media, you know, at a higher rate, I think, than most other, you know, cultures or races or whatever, however you want to categorize it.
Yeah.
So I think we drive ratings, but we've never been catered to. It seems now, you know, there seems like to be understanding that, you know, African Americans consume science fiction, consume comic books, consume horror. And so like almost like a glut, and some that you get like some quality, but you get some bad too.
Oh yeah, but like HBO, like, you know, it's got that one show, Random Acts of Flyness. Like,
yes,
like that show is dope as hell. Like, you know, like, and it is creative. Like, and it does stuff. Sometimes I'm like, what the hell did I just watch? But that's
What's
the thing.
Name of it?
Like Random Acts of Flyness. If I'm not mistaken.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
Never seen it. That's for yeah. Heard of it.
Yeah, it's a sci-fi show, and it is fantastic. And I can't say enough about it because it's just so creative. And like, it's the type of venue where it's just like, they were like, do whatever you want. You know, because sometimes, like I said, the other side, they do whatever they want. They're sometimes are able to do whatever they want more than we can. And a lot of times I'm like, man, that was whack. But like, we are now in a spot where sometimes we have a little bit more of ability, unless it's a platform that we make for ourselves. If it's a platform that we make for ourselves, then yes, we can do whatever we want. But I'm talking about for the actual platforms that have the millions upon millions upon billions of dollars to say, yes, please do what you want with this. Like, that doesn't happen that often. And HBO is now in this era. See, once again, and all this is contingent on Netflix because Netflix keeps making stuff. Netflix keeps getting more and more money. Netflix keeps getting more and more lines of credit because there is a number that they're looking for subscribers. And all these other people are trying to take their stuff off their platform. And Netflix is like, it's okay because we got original stuff that people come back and watch. So we don't need you. And HBO is like, well, shit, we got to make more shit. So now they're like, no, we need to give these folks over here a chance. We need to give these folks over here a chance to grab them. Once again, it's not like they're knocking on door to door. There's still a need for connections. There's a need for agents. There's a need for representation, like, and all that stuff. So it's not that easy. But the thing is, like, once again, we still have the opportunity now to create platforms for ourselves. And depending on how far we could take it on our own, you know, like, it could lead to something else later because people, like, I mean, we don't forget, but like, you know, Issa Rae, you know, she had like the Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl many, many years ago.
Right.
That was a very successful web series. And that led to other things. And now look at her now. Now she running stuff. And that's great. You know? So like, but that all goes back to, you know.
Oh my God, you talk about the come up. Yeah, she's, I mean.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know if she even envisioned that like 10 years ago when she started Awkward Black Girl, man. And it was, again, they say that, you know, Black women are invisible. I think nerdy Black women or geeky Black women are invisible in particular because that is something that you've never seen before, ever. Mm-hmm. And she blew up the spot with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. She's doing the thing, and like it's great. Like, you know, it's really, really great. And like, I'm all for that. Like, and I'm all for us getting out here and doing the thing. and, you know, and doing our own thing. And, you know, and like I said, I know sometimes support is hard, man. Like, getting support is tough. You know, like, there are a lot of things that people can invest their time into. Okay. There's a lot of things. Doesn't matter whether it be Netflix, a streaming app, or whether it be a gaming system, again, you know, or your computer. You might be playing, you know, Warcraft all day, or Minecraft, or whatever game is hot right now, because, like, I'm old and I can't remember this. But there are so many things that can occupy your time. So I understand the difficulty of trying to build a base when people are used to seeing intellectual properties that they have seen since childhood. And it's difficult to make them see something new, you know, because, like, Cash and Carry is new, you know, it's not old. It's barely 3 years old, you know, and it still hasn't been seen by enough people yet. You know, and, like, once again, because of a platform like y'all at Black Comics Chat, it has the ability to be heard about and hopefully be seen if they go to the Kickstarter page or follow a link that's been provided in the Black Comics Chat Twitter feed. So they can see and be like, oh, okay, you know, they're out here doing their own thing, trying to represent. Okay, this sounds cool. I can give this to my child. I can read this for me because it reminds me of XYZ. And, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create our own lane and, you know, give people opportunities. That's another thing I'm big on. I'm big on trying to give people opportunities. You know, Cash and Carry gave Marcus an opportunity to have, you know, to have his work in a book that can be acquired worldwide with the greatest of ease. You know, the cover for book one was by Nyla Magruder. And this was before Nyla got that, you know, got her gig with Marvel to be the first Black woman to write a comic book for Marvel. She was the first. It was a digital book, but she was the first, you know. And, like, you know, in Penny Candy Studios, they were in, like, she was the one who did all the original concept designs for Cash and Carry. You know, like, I love giving people opportunities. I do. I really do. And now, like I said, like, I feel that I have enough business acumen to be able to, you know, do these Kickstarters to give people opportunities so we can do cool books. So, like, everybody, I can't help everybody, but I'm going to try to help as many people as I can. And this is why I believe in the projects I do. And this is why I use Kickstarter. Like, I don't have an agent yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have, like, I don't have a big selling book yet. So I got to hustle, you know, and if I didn't love this, you think I'd be on this call right now? I would be upstairs, you know, deep Blu-ray player on, you know, just like watching whatever.
Hey, Sean, so what's your vision for Cash and Carry? I mean, so we've had you on a couple of times, man.
Yeah.
And the conversation is always, you know, educational.
Yeah.
But if you had like one wish within the next, you know, 12 months, you want Cash and Carry to do this, what would that be?
Oh, an animated series.
I was going to ask that. Yes.
Animated series. Yes, hey, indeed.
Great minds think alike.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. As a matter of fact, like Julie Speziani, our co-creator of Cash and Carry, is working on an animation pitch right now. And she sent me the animation pitch. It looks fantastic. The gentleman that played the blue Power Ranger in Power Rangers Dino Thunder, actor Kevin Duhaney, he does a lot of voice. The brother does a lot of voice acting now. Mm-hmm. I met him face to face in 2015. Then in 2016, and I gave him a copy of Cash and Carry Book One. And I said, man, I was like, if this ever gets to be a cartoon, I want you to voice Dallas Cash. He was like, bet, I'm down. So, like, I would love to see Cash and Carry be a cartoon. If that never happens, like, we got at least two or three more books in us right now. Easily. And, like, if Cash and Carry ever came to an end book-wise, I want the last book to be, and if I can find the creator of Fillmore, I'll find a way to make this work. I want it to be a Cash and Carry Fillmore team up. That's what I want. That's what I want the final cash and carry book to be. And like, but that's years down the line. That's years down the line. But I would love to see a cash and carry animated series. I think that would be great. My biggest thing has always been I never put the cart before, you know, before the horse. You know, like I want to make sure books get done first. You know, I want to make sure things get completed first. My biggest, like the biggest thing that I've always, and I've been like this because I'm an Air Force brat. My father taught me this. My mother taught me this. Like, I got to make sure that the stuff is done. You know, I can't be out here hustling for, you know, I'm like, yeah, we can be hustling for a cartoon, but I'm like, if nobody's getting this book done, then I've let everybody down. You know, and I've seen this happen a number of times where cats will put the cart before the horse and there's no completed book. Folks are waiting for their stuff. And you know, and I'm like, no, can't do that. You can't do that. You know, you just can't. Like the only cat, like the one cat, like I will give like the excuse for is Anthony Piper, because Anthony Piper was out here hustling. And I got my copy of Trail League today and I am beyond excited for it. But, you know, he was out here hustling and he let people know, yo, I'm going to be late. Here's the reasons why. And it was worth the wait. So, you know, but like I know, like I said, I try not to put the cart before, you know, ahead of the horse. You know, like if Julie's working on this animation pitch, somebody got to make sure that this book is getting put together. That's my job. Because if I let y'all down, y'all ain't gonna come back and support me. Y'all ain't gonna come back and support, you know, come back and support projects. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just a writer. You know, I'm a writer and a creator, a business person and an editor. And so, like, I can't, you know, I don't draw yet, but I need time to do it. And I ain't got time. You know, and I ain't got time. But the thing is that, like, I have to make sure people get what they want because they invest their money in us. And if you invest your money in this project, you're investing money in me, and I don't want to let you down. That's how I've always been. Like, I can't sit here and be 3 years late on one Kickstarter and then 2 years late on another one and still be out here, you know, doing, no. Like, I don't want nobody running up on me. Like, where's my stuff at, fool? I don't want that.
Because that happens.
Oh, it happens a lot. And I ain't saying no names, and I want to. But I'm not, because like I'm taking my inner petty and I'm putting it away.
Petty sales.
I know petty sales, but you know what? It's a Friday and I feel good. You know,
petty got people in the White House. So,
oh, I know petty got people. Well, no, racism got people in the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
racism is
I don't want to say racism is petty, but I mean, come on.
Oh no, I understand. But tonight I'm putting my Tom Petty away. I'm putting my Kyle Petty away. I'm putting my Richard Petty away, and my Gladys Knight in the Petty Pits. I'm putting it all away.
All right. And we appreciate it.
Oh no, no problem.
We're gonna have to do a petty show, though. We always just gonna keep it. Petty.
I'm down for a petty show. I am down.
Oh god.
You know. So no, but no, like I said, I want people to believe, and I want people to believe in cash and carry. So that's why, like, you know, like I said before, like I've never had a problem fulfilling any Kickstarter that I've ever done. Like a perfect example, the Lifted of Gods and Thieves Kickstarter, that fulfillment is due sometime in January. And we're still on track for January.
And so I touched on this before, man. And just the ability for you to keep hitting on these Kickstarters. And I see other people with, I think, have business acumen, have a brand, just fall flat on their faces, just... It's just, it amazes me. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, man, but I think that's a testament to a lot of things, your professionalism, your dedication. But again, it still amazes me, man. I find that fascinating.
Oh, well, thank you. I know. I appreciate it. You know, it's just something that's just built within me. You know what I mean? Because like I know, like I've been in this long enough, and the way I was brought up, you know, you either put up or shut up. That's just how it is. You put up or shut up. And if you make a mistake or if you screw up, you fess up to it. Period. You fess up to it. Like, people are more forgiving if you just keep it real. You know, like. If you mess up on your Kickstarter, just say I messed up, I made a mistake, but this is what I'm going to do to correct it. That's all that, you know, that's it. And that's being legit. Like if you're lazy and ain't got no excuse, that's no excuse. No, just be like, listen, this is what happened. We had a printing error. Or, you know, this art has not been turned in yet, but we're waiting for it. Or this, you know, just be real. That's all, like, that's all I ever ask of anyone that's doing any type of project, whether it be crowdfunding or not. Just be real with people. Just be real. Be straight up. You know,
I mean, that's a life. I mean, thing right there. Like, that's what people expect at the job. Like, if you know, if you mess up. I mean, so that, like, that's a pretty much kind of like basic fundamental, or at least I see it as that, a basic fundamental thing that, you know, people should do.
Oh yeah, and a lot of people don't do that though. And like in comics, it can get mad messed up. You know, because like. Because comics has this thing of where, like, it's accepted that things are late. It's accepted that, like, people treat each other bad. It's accepted that, like, you know, like, for some publishers, if you are a Black person and you write and you want to write for one of the bigger companies, you can't get on unless you're a New York Times bestseller or you write for television or film to write comics.
Which is crazy.
Which is insane. Once again, which is absolutely insane, because the other side does not have to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know,
you basically got to be successful before you get a starter job.
Right. You know. Exactly. Like, if I'm successful, don't get me wrong, I love comics. Don't get me wrong, but if I'm successful writing television or film, and if it's paying way more than comics,
right? Why would you do comics?
Why would I be writing comics then? I mean, unless you love it. And but the thing is also, but like, if you're on that level where you make XYZ and a comic book publisher comes up to you and it's like, no, man, I make this, so you got to at least give me that. Right. You know, like, you're going to have to put something on the table. You know what I mean? You're going to have to come to the table. But no, it's weird for us. It's weird for us, and it's even worse for Black women. You know, because, like, it's 2018, and, like, so many publishers are still treating Black women like, what are those?
Right. Or we're just now getting first on things. Right. We're like, how long have comics been existing? And we just now getting first? Yeah.
It's crazy that you will see titles, you know, the first Black woman, you know, Marvel or DC. I was like, it's like 2018.
Right.
You're seeing these headlines in bold print, like you're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you want to be excited, but at the same time, you're like, this is still sad.
Exactly. Exactly. It's whack. Like, you know, it's just real. It's just really, really whack. And the thing is, it's also done in a way, a lot of times, that also can do more harm than good. Because, like, you know, the bigger comic publishers don't protect their talent because they're freelance. So they get, you know, they can get harassed by trolls and get sent death threats and all this other stuff. And the publisher's just like,
right.
You know, and then that's just weird. Like, it's weird, and it should not be that way.
And that's I think that's a part of comics or the comics culture or whatever that I don't understand. How are you gonna send somebody death threats because they changed maybe the color of a character or got a writer that you don't agree? Are you gonna send something, really,
bruh?
It's
you
a
know
comic
what?
Book, dog.
Man, like, I don't. It just makes me tired. It just makes me tired, man. And also, but we're also in this age because of who's in the White House. Like, yo, listen, fascism and racism sells. And if people can make money off of it, or if people can grift money off of other people for it, they gonna do it. Period. You know, like, this. I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in English, and I also did a lot of stuff. I also did a lot of work in sociology. I minored in sociology. And the thing is that, like, if people see a hate train, there are a lot of people that may kind of feel that way, but if they know that they can squeeze dollars out of other racists, a fool and their money will quickly part.
I think it was Harry Truman that said, you don't have to pick a white man's pocket. It was a quote. If you can make the lowest white man think he's better than the best Black man, you don't have to pick his pocket. You give him somebody to look down upon, he'll empty his pockets for you.
Yeah, man. It's a mess, man. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. But Like, so the only thing we can do is just, you know, keep doing for self and just trying to, you know, get our works out there and finding the proper venues and the people that are interested in them. You know, like that's really all that we can continue to do, and also try our best to protect ourselves in this really jacked up climate. You know, it's like I said, it's funny, man. Like these last like 3 years, this last year alone has been my most productive year as a creator. I actually just finished turning in a manuscript to a book publisher, a nationwide well-known book publisher for a kid's sports novella. I just turned that into yesterday, and like I'm really excited about that. And real talk, the checks that have been written for that, although not large, it still equals. More the checks I'm getting from this project are more money than I've ever made in comics, period. Outside of selling comics at conventions and whatnot, you know, this one project I did for this book publisher has paid more than the comic book business has ever paid me in my lifetime. So, like I said, this has been my most productive year ever, but I've also had a lot of good things happen. And, you know, like I said, I'm still hustling these Kickstarters because I got dreams and goals. You know, like it doesn't stop, because if, like I said, if I don't do it, you know, who's going to do it? You know, and so we got to grind. So once again, for those that just joined in onto this into Black Comics Chat this evening, my name is Sean Pryor, and you know,
I love it.
I appreciate y'all being here with us tonight. I want y'all to go to Kickstarter.com. I want you to type cash, CASH, and carry, CARRIE. You know, cash and carry is a catchy name because I know other people think it's something else, but it ain't. But you type in cash and carry in the search header, you're gonna find Cash and Carry Book 2. Go look at it. It's cute, it's adorable, you're gonna love it. And we got all kinds of cool stuff on there. We even got Cash and Carry plushies, y'all. We got Cash and Carry plushies.
Yo, okay. I really want one of those. I'm so mad I missed the Funkos.
Yo, the Funkos went fast, fam. They went fast. Yeah. They went hella fast. But no, man, we got plushies. We got Cash and Carry plushies. I'm all about merchandising. You know, like I just, as a kid, I've been like this since I was a kid. You know, I had all these toys. When I had these toys and these books when I was a kid, I was just like, yo, one day when I grow up, I'm gonna make comics, I'm gonna make books, I'm gonna have toys with my books. But like, yo, these plushies are cute and adorable. And I know people are like, why are these so expensive? Because they custom made, they're handmade.
Gotta pay for quality.
Yes, you got to. And so, but the thing is, I ensure you that they will be fine. They will be nice. I have a set of them in my house right now. I have to hide them from my dog, so my dog will not eat them. You know? So, but no, they're like over 8 inches tall. They're over 9 inches wide. They're adorable. And, but you get a lot, you know, you get a lot if you get the plushie set. So I, you know, and they're made by Alex Trapp of the Night Owl Workshop, who is in the same town that I live in. I live in Lexington. But no, there's all kinds of cool stuff. There's all kinds of cool books. If you never got book one, you have the opportunity to get book one in the Kickstarter as well as book two. There is a wonderful Kawhi Head card set made by Angie, AKA, the Nerdette from, Bolt On Comics and stuff like that. She is fantastic. Love her to death. She's an absolute sweetheart. You know, there's also, you can get copies of Kentucky Kaiju. My homie Sean Cosley does this really cool all ages kids series called Panda Force. There's all kinds of cool stuff in this Kickstarter. So I can't stress enough for y'all to check it out, back it, and support it. And I promise you, I'm going to fulfill it, because once again, if I don't, y'all ain't going to come back. And if y'all don't come back, I got a problem.
So, getting back to the book itself, what is sort of the difference between book one and book two in regards to the story itself?
In regards to the story, the difference between book one and book two is this. Like, book one, there were, I would say, like, really about one and a half stories, and then there were just like, you know, three or four short stories. And like, you know, and it was all, you know, but it was OGN based. Whereas this one is also an OGN, but the main story is much larger. It's a 96 page book, but the main story is 60 pages. You know, because so, like we actually, you know, there, the plan we had, you know, we had this put in place for book two. We wanted a larger story for book two. And in book two, it's a summer book. It's technically a summer book because the subtitle for book two is Summer Sleuths. And in book two, you know, Cash and Carrie, they go to a summer camp and there's a big mystery. There's a big mystery that takes place at this summer camp and they have to try to figure out, you know, what's going on. But then because it's summer, we're also going to do other summer things and have other types of summer mysteries. And like the one cohesive thing that brings everything together at the end of book one, there's a magazine inside of book one called the Mason Middle Messenger. When I was growing up, when I was in middle school, we always get like a weekly magazine. And it was just like, you know, made on the copier. And it was like, hey, this is what students did this week. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to give readers the opportunity to see other characters in the school that Cash and Carrie attend. And also let kids see what Cash and Carrie do outside of solving mysteries. And so, you know, that is also back in book two. So, but like, you know, book two is bigger. Book two has a larger main story, but it also has like additional stories and also has more pinups as well. But the overall theme of solving mysteries and having fun throughout still reigns.
Awesome. So, I personally just backed this Kickstarter. Oh,
thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. I am one of those people. I didn't get the first book, so I made sure that I ordered the first and second book, obviously, so that I can sort of see what the hype is about. You know.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. Like I said, it's my goal to not let you down, and you know, and give you something fun and something that you can pass along. You know, pass along to kids and whatnot, and friends. You know, like I said, and I've said it a gajillion times tonight, I just want us to be able to see ourselves in these books, man. You know, like growing up, and like as a kid, that really wasn't the case. You know what I mean? You know, there were a few like, you know, black superheroes back in the day. You know, you had your Black Panthers and you know, Black Goliaths and Falcon and, you know, and some cats in the DC universe, you know, Cyborg and whatnot. But like for like the longest time when I was a kid, superheroes were cool, but I was a sci-fi kid. So like, you know, I wanted to read Star Wars comics. I wanted to read Star Trek comics. And like anytime Lando would show up,
yep.
I was like, yeah, I got to get this issue because it's Lando. You know, you're like, hey, it's, you know, it's me. You know what I mean? So I wanted to see Lando. And, you know, or like in comic books when Rhodey became Iron Man. Like, that was like, whoa, oh, we can do that, huh? That's cool. I'll be buying this. You know, I was like, yo, mom, can we go to the comic book store? I want to get the new Iron Man. But I just, like I said, like, it's just really important to me. And it's been something that's really been weighing on me heavily for, like, the last probably, like, 5 or 6 years now. You know, like, it. I was just like, no, I want us to be able to see ourselves and feel good. When we see these books, and like, yeah, sometimes, you know, in other books, you know, characters might go through hardships and whatnot, but I don't want it to be a thing where I am selling you back the pain that you get by living in America.
That's real. That's
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to always like do that. You know what I mean? And I want to find different ways to tell stories that can make people understand what we go through. But also at the same time, I want to do stories where we have fun. But I've really been thinking heavily over like the last 2 or 3 years, how our pain is sold back to us.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. you know, and like it just I feel some kind of way about it. You know what I mean? And like, so now that is really started to like help, you know, help. It's just started to help me figure out, okay, how are we gonna tell these stories? You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to tell these stories? What are we trying to get across? What are we trying to sell? You know, so you know, I always got a lot on my mind.
And I think also going back to what you were saying earlier about this, you know, it's kids. They sound like kids. They look like kids, you know. And if we think about, you know, when we were reading comics, I got a little youth on y'all just a little bit. But but even still, you know, like these weren't kids. These were adults. And we were reading, you know, adults. And so especially now when kids are getting into comics, you know, I hear parents say all the time, do you have something that's kid friendly? Do you have something that's kid appropriate? And, you know, there was a time where it was like, let me think about that. Yeah. You have to like really like ponder. But now you have stories like Cash and Carrie where you can be like, oh, yeah, I got one for you here. You know, and it allows this intergenerational type thing, you know, like so that everybody can feel like they can be a part of, you know, this medium. Everybody can feel like they're a part of the story and not just like, oh, that's somebody that he looks like me, but he's not like me, so to speak. So
yeah. Right.
Yeah. And actually, you know, one thing I don't know if I've ever actually told anybody this, but I with Carrie, I made sure you know, I obviously stayed true to her original design, but I made a concerted effort to make sure that, you know, she was visibly, you know, a little browner than the white kids in the story, because I think a lot of times with Latinx and you know, Latina characters, they'll always have someone that could technically pass, you know what I mean, just to kind of, you know, make it more palatable for people. So. Yeah. So that was something that I made sure of, was that, you know, that
intentional.
She wouldn't pass. Yeah.
Oh, and I appreciate that. I do. And like I said, that's the care that Marcus puts into this. You know, it's the care that like everybody puts in, that everybody does their best to put into when they do Cash and Carrie. And I appreciate that. You know what I mean? I do. I really sincerely appreciate that. And like, you know, like I said, I want everyone that works on this book to enjoy working on the book, because like, yo man, like, yeah, it's art, but it's also work. It's also a job. You know what I mean? It's also a job. But at the same time, like I want everyone who is a part of it to be able to like, you know what, man, I really had a blast doing this and I would love to do this again. You know, because like, hey man, there's been like a lot of working relationships in comics where it's like, pardon my French, man, I hate that motherfucker. I don't ever want to work that motherfucker again. How much? All right, I do it one more time. Come on, let's go. You know what I mean? And like, and so you're not getting the best out of someone if they're in a relationship where like everything's toxic, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, yo, let's have fun. Like, let's have a good time. Let's now talk about it and let's see what we can do. So yeah, like, no, it's good. It's good. And like I said, I just always appreciate y'all being so supportive of my endeavors, you know. And because the thing is, real talk, like, because if it wasn't for Black Comics Chat, I wouldn't have known about Marcus. And if it wasn't for Marcus, I wouldn't have known about Snow Days. And if it wasn't for Snow Days, I wouldn't have bought a copy of Snow Days. And then to finally do an interview, you know, be on like, you know, back in 2015 to do an interview on Black Comics Chat. And then I was just like, as we were thinking about doing, you know, full book one for Cash and Carrie, I was like, yeah, Snow Days was pretty good. I need to reach out to Marcus. Let me see what he can do. Like, so it all connects because I remember that first Black Comics Chat appearance. I was going off. AWF. I was going off, you know, and so. You know, I mean, also at the same time, it's like, you know, I try to like reserve my energy now because like it's weird because like, you know, a lot of cats will like will quote unquote ride for you or like retweet what you say if you're going off about something. But they're there for that. But they're not there when you say, OK, here is a sincere project that I want to do. And this is the plan. I'm putting this together. Here's a crowdfunding project. And then it's crickets. And so I'm like I said, I'm trying to preserve my energy now. You know what I mean? It's just like, if I don't support it, if I don't support something, I ain't talking about it, period. I'm not giving that thing my energy, my space, and my time anymore. Now, if I got jokes for it, that's something else, because I love me some jokes. But, but like, You know, but like if it's not worth my time, I'm not going to give it energy because I'm then putting it out in the ether and now I'm helping it exist. Nah, I'm just going to ghost you. And that's better than me putting it out there and then somebody else talking about it and somebody else talking about it and somebody else talking about it. And then it's a viral thing. And now this thing has legs, which was trash. And what good does that do? You know, what good does that do? So, sorry, I didn't mean to get on like my black Dr. Phil. And I apologize.
Nah, man. That's why we always have you back, man.
You know, it's like I said, I'm trying to watch how I use my energy, how I give it, and how it is received. I'm really trying to do that. I'm trying to sound like I'm on some Zen stuff, and that ain't really the case. I'm just trying to do better.
It's nothing but passion, just a passion.
Oh, sometimes a little too passionate though. You know. So no. But no, for real though, like y'all haven't done a show in a few weeks together. What's been going on?
Ooh, life.
Oh, you know what I've been doing.
I know what you've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just I know for me that the amount that I put into the show and the amount that I put into Cash and Carry, I had to have a period where I was more focused on one than the other, you know. So you know, a lot of other podcasts have mid-season breaks, and we've just gone straight through from like 20, you know, tail end of 2014 to now. So we took a little break just to recalibrate.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, hey, you need breaks.
Absolutely. I think on my end, I mean, I feel like I'm always working. So, you know, I think for me, I've let work kind of take over my life. But on the other end, I think I've also still trying to, you know, push Black Comics Chat, being at New York Comic Con and getting some great interviews, I think kind of helped at least keep my name still out there. As we're still doing episodes, even though they're not live.
Nice. So how was New York Comic Con for y'all this year? How was it?
Well, this was the first year we actually had a press pass. I will highly encourage my partners here to get one. It's a different world when you have a press pass. Because there's like a press area, which was cold as fuck, but you see sort of a little bit behind the curtain and you see the type of attention they're willing to give you if you are trying to promote stuff. You know, my inbox was completely inundated with comic book companies looking to me, of all people in my head, that's what I'm saying, me of all people to see if I can interview people that they are featuring. You know what I mean? So it was really hard to sift through all the chatter because some things I'm blatantly not interested in, or I'm not sure that people here would be interested in, but I'm only just one person. So I wanted to make sure that I stuck to our roots and just dealt with independent creators. So I think the only company that I really, there were two I did interviews with was Image, and that was great. Bitterroot was the book. We can talk about that all day. And then I did a couple interviews for Lion Forge. And from there, the rest were independent creators that I'm not sure people heard of or were aware of. And that was kind of my focus. But it was tiring.
I can believe it. Like, being on your feet, you know, I've been to New York Comic Con one time. That was 2015. And had a blast, had a ball. But my feet.
Yeah, you better have good sneakers. That's why I appreciated the press area, because there were times I just needed to sit down. I just needed to sit down and just, you know, either connect or send some stuff to Marcus. Because I tried to be that cool person. I was like, Marcus, I got some video to send you. But then the Wi-Fi wasn't that great. So it was like, all right, well, I'll just pretend like I'm writing something. But it was cool to see Fan Bros do their thing, and they're not called Fan Bros anymore. It was cool for them to see them do their thing as well. You know, like they were out there, and I think I took a lot of I took a lot of cue from them in terms of this is what I probably should do, not only for our content, but also self-care as well, because I saw they rested a lot. They did their thing. They were always having fun. So I kind of want to do that again. And to be quite honest with you, I may start swinging for the fences and really start doing press passes for, like, you know, Comic-Con San Diego, maybe WonderCon and stuff like that. So,
well, definitely let me know. I'm actually submitting to be on a panel at WonderCon, and I've gone there a couple of times, but you know, but at the same time, it would be great to be on the other side of the table, so to speak, as well too. So, and I mean, fingers crossed. I've submitted my abstract already, so it's just a matter of just finding out. But that's definitely one that I've always enjoyed too, going to is WonderCon. So yeah. Definitely, if you're shooting for that, we should, you know, make sure to connect.
Good. Oh, absolutely. And like I said, again, it's just a different experience. Mm-hmm. You know, not to say that they treat us differently than like the rest of the population. It's not that. It's when you have the press pass on, you can pretty much walk almost anywhere because you're looking for an interview and stuff like that. I think as a fan, people just try to keep the crowds moving.
Right. So. Yeah, I got a taste of that at the Schomburg Festival.
Oh, yeah.
January, you know, being able to be on a panel and being able to have, like, you know, access to certain places. It felt good to be able to be like, oh, no, you don't have to wait in line. Just come on through and you can meet this person. You can do this. Oh, you want to take this pic? Okay, let's do this. And you're like, oh, damn. Any other time,
yeah.
I'd be like just waiting and waiting and patiently waiting. So. Yeah, it feels good to be able to just, like, just walk up with ease. Mm-hmm.
So good times. So why don't we just make a nice transition to topics, assuming that if there's anything else, Sean, that you want to say about your Kickstarter.
Yeah. No, the only thing I'll say before we get to topics, the only thing I'll say is this, like I said before. If you go to Kickstarter.com, you could type CASHAND, CARRIE, Cash and Carry, and that'll take you to Cash and Carry Book 2. You'll find it. You'll see it. Like I said, we have all kinds of cool tiers. A Dallas Cash and Inez Carry are two middle schoolers who are best friends. Together, they solve mysteries. You have an opportunity to not only get Book 2, but also Book 1, and very other cool rewards such as plushies, and other, soft cover editions, digital editions, plus other cool books like Kentucky Kaiju. I think we still have a video game poster set, other kids' books such as Panda Force. But, like, you know, it's all about Cash and Carry. Please check it out. Or if you are currently on Twitter right now, if you go to the Black Comics Chat Twitter feed, there is a link there. And it will say CASH-AND-CARRIE. .com. That takes you straight to the Kickstarter page. That link is also on my Twitter bio. So if you go to my Twitter homepage, you'll see cash-and-carry.com. You click right there, and I've got that plastered everywhere on my Twitter. So yeah, but please check it out. Like I said, I know a lot of people talk about they want inclusive books, and they want books that, like, have diversity and all this other stuff. And I'm putting my money where my mouth is, so I hope y'all put y'all's pledges where y'all's mouths are at. So, so I'm putting it out there. Y'all want it? I'm putting it out there. So please support the project, and I appreciate y'all for that. Thank you.
Wow, you are awesome. I feel like we can record you just doing a commercial.
Yes.
We're like a radio commercial, and then at the end, how they always talk about the terms and conditions is like really fast.
No, you just use that for film. Like I said, you do this enough, like podcasts and stuff, like it's a breeze. Now, if I sat here by myself with just a recorder, man, it'd take me 15 tries.
Well, I'm glad that we make you comfortable.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So we also appreciate you and all the work that you do. So looking at the topics, and I think we're adding them as we speak. So Castlevania Season 2, I'm assuming.
Did that drop yet?
That dropped. Dropped for Halloween week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. First of all, they drop F-bombs in this cartoon. So this is not your... This is not a kid's thing. You know what I mean? I mean, they're dropping full-fledged F-bombs while fighting Dracula. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
That first season was dope.
Yeah, the first season is like nothing compared to what went down in this second season. So I highly, highly recommend it. Just for the awesomeness and just the sheer bloodshed it is of hunting vampires, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
Then there's a report out today that Avengers 4 is 3 hours long.
Yeah, I peeped that.
Wait. Are they talking about the final cut, or are they saying right now is
right now is 3 hours?
Right now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because there was a 4-hour Black Panther cut at one point. So they might whittle that down.
Can you imagine?
Well, if folks can sit through a 3-hour Lord of the Rings, yeah. I'm sure they'll sit through 3 hours Avengers 4.
Shoot, I sat through 3 hours of Malcolm X, so I'm good. I mean, that's not shading it. Like, I enjoyed it, but I'm saying, like, I was young and watched that.
Oh. Yeah, but didn't that have an intermission though? I thought it had an intermission.
I don't think so. Yeah, I feel like Malcolm X just was straight through. You mean when it was straight the theaters, through, right?
Yeah. It was straight through. Like movie theaters had ended the whole intermission thing by the time Malcolm X dropped.
Oh yeah.
That like the intermission thing had come to an end. Like, man,
Godfather 2 had an intermission.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Excalibur had an intermission.
Excalibur.
Wow. Yeah, that's some old school shit right there. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you something. Like, this is how long Excalibur ran. Excalibur was so long there was intermission in the movie theater. And when that joint came on HBO, HBO had to give the intermission. You think I'm playing? I'm dead serious. Like, I was at my grandma's house because grandma was the only one in the family at the time had HBO. So the family went over there. It was an event. So Excalibur was on. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. Now, granted, I'm probably at the time like 5, 6 maybe. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be great. Not because I'm thinking, yo, here comes the swords and the dragons and the excitements and the hooray. And I'm like, man, this is boring as hell. Because I'm 5 years old. Like, I'm expecting action and everything. And so I'm just sitting there just waiting, and people are just talking. Oh, let me adjust myself in this chair. Okay, I'm going to talk some more. And then, like, the intermission thing comes on. And literally, I remember this screenshot like it was yesterday. It's like a hand coming out of like the river with the sword of Excalibur.
Yes.
And it said intermission, and there was a timer. That joint said 30 minutes. And I'm like, as a 5-year old.
Wow.
As a 5-year old, I'm like, wait a minute. This is cable. Don't y'all just have this ready already? Yep. It was like, even HBO was like, nah, y'all need to just get up, go take a walk, because I know y'all tired. Just go get up, go do something, come back later. And I was just like, Mom, can we go home? So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I could never see HBO or any cable company doing that. 30 minutes, that's money right there.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
That's an episode of NCAA right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Different times now. Way different times. So, yeah, man, like I said, how we consume media, how it's viewed and all that in less than 30-something years has changed massively. So, yeah. Oh, did y'all hear about Disney finally naming their streaming service Disney Plus, and they're going to give Diego Luna...
Yeah,
his own Cassie series.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And I also heard that they're also doing a Loki series starring Hiddleston.
Yep. Tom Hiddleston. Yep.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. And I know people are gonna be like, man, why are you always bashing on Marvel all the time? Here's the thing. And I'm like, y'all made this Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. Y'all killed this dude. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember when like, I saw a screener of it, and they killed him, and I was just like, he gonna be back, because like, and the thing is, like, then they announced, oh, Loki's getting his own show on the Disney app, and I'm like, so you mean to tell me I just sat there and watched this dude get murked for nothing, but yet y'all gonna let Heimdall get stabbed in the chest, and like, while he sends the Bifrost to send Hulk across the street? Okay. Yep. All right. y'all gonna kill Black Jesus, but y'all gonna let this dude go ahead and just keep making TV shows. I see what this is. I see it. Black Jesus deserves a show. He deserves a show. Like, he's the only thing worthwhile in that Thor Ragnarok movie. He actually helping people. He trying to help his people. But no. Whatchamacallit, lose an eye. Here comes his sister. Oh, great. She kills all the minorities in the movie. Oh, wonderful.
She really does. Yeah.
You know, you just broke it down how Asgard is a pretty accurate one-to-one reflection of America.
Yes.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes, it is.
Pretty much.
So yes. So yes, sorry. But I apologize. Please continue. I just had to.
This is why we have topics.
That's what you're here for.
I had to get a little bit of that petty out. So I know folks would be like, man, why are you always so salty about these Marvel movies? Because I'm like, most of them don't mean nothing.
I'm going to mention something that's not, because you reminded me of something that's not on this list. The DC app is out and they're doing their thing. And I'm not sure if anybody's watched the Titans.
I've watched.
Not yet.
I watched the first episode. I did.
What did you think of the first episode?
And I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, I'm for the DC Universe app. I'm not really here for the Geoff Johns shows. Yeah. I'm here for the animated stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And
they have like everything, right?
They
like
have everything.
Back in the day stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you could watch Superman: The Quest for Peace if you want to.
Oh. Woo!
Not that you would.
Wow.
But you could.
Oh my.
Yo,
I watch it once or twice.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Do they have Superman 3 on there too, or Richard Pryor?
Yes, they do.
Oh man!
Woo! Wow.
They do.
Throwback.
I almost feel like I want to just leave that in the golden glow of my childhood. You know what I mean? I haven't seen it as an adult yet.
It has its moments still, but you know, whatever. It is what it is. It's still better than A Quest for Peace. I will say that.
Ooh, Quest for Peace is so messy.
It's just wow.
Now wait, is that was the one where with Sun Superman, like the one where they
it's supposed to be the nuclear man that's not
firestorm. And it kind of have like Ivan Drago undertones to it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I remember this.
They also have like the original Wonder Woman series, which I'm actually watching.
Oh, you're kind of selling me on this now.
The app is okay. I don't know how it will last.
They have like Superman the animated series.
They do too? I believe they do.
Oh yeah, and they're going to keep making original content as well. And like the cool thing about it is that you can also read some comics, but you can also buy comics directly from the app.
Yes, you can. Like I was bugging out. I was reading some old Teen Titans from like Marv Wolfman, George Perez, like reading it on my TV screen just to see if I could do it. It's actually not bad for the money they're asking for it. And I think with Young Justice coming out and a couple of new things,
Might
actually be worth a lot.
Okay.
And the thing is, the way it works out, if you just get the year subscription, it's like it averages out to $6.25 a month.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's going to be cheaper than that Disney app when that Disney app dropped because Bob Iger already said, yeah, we're going to be around $8.99, $9.99. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we want to, we're going to raise that price. Oh, you want more Star Wars? Oh, you want more of these Marvel shows? Pay up. They're going to knock on them for real. Iger going to be knocking on folks' doors like, hey, don't be using somebody else's username and password.
Oh, man.
No, you're right.
I want money in hand, fam. Like, Bob don't play. That dude is ruthless.
Yeah.
He is.
Disney is definitely leading the way and making you pay 3-4 times for the things that you've seen already.
Right. Yep.
they gonna treat this streaming service like the amusement park. Oh, you want to go over there? You got to pay.
Right.
You may have a card.
Oh, you don't have that pass to get to that park over there. Well, if you want one, we give you a 3-day pass. That gives you access to everything else. I'm only here for one day. Well, the 1-day pass costs $3,000. Yep. How much is the 3-day pass? $4,000. But you get more access to other stuff. And I'm just like, when did I have to take out a loan to go to a damn amusement park?
That's right. Don't be surprised if the app has like a fast pass. Like all of a sudden that shit like
right.
the internet. You know what I mean?
Like a Linden library. Okay, you get to watch the Cassian Andor short show next week. So-and-so get to watch it right now for the next 3 hours. So come back next week. Oh, by the way, pay us.
Pay us.
Give me my money.
Give me my money.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. There's a new Shuri comic coming out. Who's read it?
I have. I've had it, spread it around, shared it with everyone. Looking forward to the next one. It's good. Nnedi Okorafor is the writer. I've loved her books, just her fantasy books just in general. So I think she's a great storyteller and fits right in with the, you know, into the realm. So, yeah, I give it thumbs up.
Thumbs up. All right. That's awesome. Yeah, I saw it. I saw a copy of it. I didn't get a chance to read it, though. So I definitely have to.
Yeah, it's in my box at the shop. I just haven't been in, so I got to.
Because you're making copies. That's why. You're making
them. Right, you're making copies.
I'm going to get it, though. I'm looking forward to it.
And, of course, for all you old school folks, and whether you consider this old school or not, Enter the 36 Chambers is 25 years today, and so is Midnight Marauders.
Yes.
Yes.
Yo, that year, man, 93, man. I remember.
Today.
I had to make sure that we put this on the list.
Yeah.
That's so wild. You know, Wu-Tang Clan was on Good Morning America.
Yes.
isn't that wild? Like 2018 in like the peak of like the other peak of racism in our faces. Yep. More every single day, ABC was like, you know what? These cats in their 40s now. This is the 25th anniversary. It's okay to let them on the TV now. And it was like, we still cussing.
Right, exactly.
Like, don't get it twisted. We still the woo.
Right. We don't care if this Good Morning America.
Mm-mm. We don't change for nobody. And I just sat there and I looked at Good Morning America's feed, the Twitter feed. There was
so upset. Oh, you looked at the feed. Oh my
yeah, goodness. There were people, lots of people upset. I'm like, really? Get out of here.
I'm like, yo, this
stuff
like
chicanery.
Go somewhere with that.
Yeah.
My God. They should have protected their neck. That's how it goes.
Exactly.
That's how it goes. I will tell you, Wu-Tang is the one of the only groups that I've actually seen them in concert more than twice.
Wow.
So it's definitely, I'm a big fan. And of course, there's Tribe. I mean, we could
talk about Midnight.
Oh, God, yes.
No, I wore that cassette tape out. I mean, now I'm dating myself, cassette tape. But, you know, just... Man, like, yeah, I would just take that with me to like track meets everywhere in high school, man.
And I personally believe that is one of the greatest covers of all.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, how many cats bit that cover? And I'm not just talking about in comics. I'm talking about for like everything.
Yeah.
In life. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you start.
Go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned cassette tapes. And I remember going back to Wu-Tang that having their what's called a single before their album even dropped. So when Protect Your Neck came out, it came out like late 1992. And being that they're from New York City, like their cassettes were everywhere. And I remember buying it. This shit is crazy. And I wore out the cassette to the point where I was like, I need to get it on CD.
Yes. Yeah, man. I had it. It was funny because like I didn't get the Wu album or the Midnight Marauders album until 94, until early 94. And I had them on both on CD. And I remember Midnight Marauders like stayed in my car the whole year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never left. I mean, like other CDs or cassette tapes would like come in and out of the car, but Midnight Marauders stayed in the car the whole time. And it was like one of those albums where you just let all the tracks play.
Yep. No, it's like the perfect album.
It is.
It's flawless.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's great. Like it makes you so happy. And the thing is that you get that album. And it was so good that, like, you waited so long for the next album, And it kind of, that next album breaks your heart because Midnight Marauders was so, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So good.
And there's no such thing as perfect. Like, and you know, because we use that word a lot, but there's really no such thing as perfect. But Midnight Marauders is fucking perfect.
Yeah, I don't throw that around loosely, but it's like the length of it. It was like 7 tracks on the first side, 7 tracks on the second side.
Right.
And there's just no filler. There was no filler on that album.
And it's interesting. I can't listen to each of these albums on shuffle. Like, I've got
to listen. Right, right.
In sequence.
To end. You know, maybe I'll hear a track like separately, but once I listen to the album, it's got to be from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because like that's just the way those, you know, those albums were made to like not skip tracks.
Right.
And like, you know, with the Wu had those cool, you know, the martial arts, the Shaw Brothers interludes.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you wouldn't want to do that.
Well, you guys bring up an important point. I mean, not to sound like an old man, but it's like technology, the direction that technology and the industry has gone in. I mean, the idea of like really thinking out and sequencing an album, you know, I mean, to be played like in that order, like for in perpetuity, that's not something that we really have. You know, some people will really lay out an album, but it's kind of understood going into the booth that like people are going to maybe buy a track here or buy a track there.
That's sad. You
know? Yeah.
That's sad because, you know, for as many albums as Drake has come out, it's like, why would I listen to your 20 track album? I don't want to hear all that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like you got maybe 2 or 3 songs on there, you know, but yeah, give me 90s hip hop any day.
Although I can't lie. Like the other day, I went to Apple Music because I was looking for a Michael Jackson album, and it was a Michael Jackson album that was released in the mid 80s, and it was like an album of basically like somebody had found some unreleased songs from Motown, some lost and unreleased songs, and I knew my father had the album, and I couldn't remember the name of it, so I was like, well, maybe it's in Apple Music, and it wasn't in there, but on Drake's, you know, current album, he has a song with Michael Jackson.
Right.
And it don't matter to me. And I was like, that's right. I never really listened to Scorpion all the way through. So let me play this real quick. And when the Michael hook comes on, like I got so happy, but then I got sad at the same time. I'm just like, yeah, he ain't never coming back. You know?
It got me
so happy because I was like, yeah, I could kind of see Michael doing this. Like, I could really kind of see Michael doing this. So at the same time, I was just like, sigh, because this, it's not real. You know what I mean? Like, it's not real. But like, at the same time, I'm like, this is really nice. This is actually a really nice song, but it's classic Drake in my feelings lyrics. You know, like, somehow like Drake found like some Michael samples, like some Michael vocals that fit the I'm in my feelings.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be with nobody, but I want to be with somebody, but I don't want to be with nobody because feelings. And I'm like, this song works so well. And I'm like, Mike Drake found a way to make Michael sound like Drake.
I don't know about that.
How is that possible?
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm going to feel the same way when they start releasing these unreleased Prince tracks.
Oh.
I'm going to be like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. Because you know that he was very, very protective of his music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, are they even going to be able to? Like, because
was there permission given?
I don't know. Are they? I do know that it's coming out.
Really?
Oh, okay. Because see what happened. Okay. This is what happened. This is long story short. I'm trying to remember, like, you know, because like there's a trust, but there's also a bank involved. Oh. And basically all the rights got settled. And now I forget the gentleman's name. Any other time I would know it, but like he has a specific role at Spotify, but he also is the like the brand man. He was like the brand manager for like Lady Gaga. And a few other pop stars. Any other day, I would know the gentleman's name. But anyway, he is right now. He's responsible for overseeing these, you know, the upcoming Prince releases. And so at first I was really concerned because I'm like, I don't want nobody near these unless it's Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, or Sheila E. because they know Prince's music, right. Like business. But then, like, you know, he was just like, no, 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 no. He was like, we are going to curate this because for a way so the fans can enjoy it. We're not going to sit, you know, we're not just going to put stuff out. He's like, because, like, people will know if we're bullshitting. And I was like, yeah, oh, I'm glad you're smart to figure that out, you know. So, like, I'm curious to see how these releases are going to go. Like, I did get the, for Christmas last year, I got the Purple Rain re-release with all the, like, additional, like, unreleased or extended tracks. And that was really, really great. Like, it, man, that brought, like, so much energy to my soul, you know. And, like, in Purple Rain's another album. Like, it's one of those albums where you play it all the way through. You don't shuffle that.
Right, no. Yep.
You don't shuffle that. Because that album is telling you a story. You know, like Midnight Marauders is telling you a story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Like I have my feelings about posthumous albums as well, because Prince has a catalog. Prince has enough stuff in the vault. Honestly, an album could probably be put out like every year for another 100 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Let's see what else we have. Dream Big Little One.
So there's this illustrator, black female illustrator, Vashti Harrison, who I follow on Twitter. Love her work. Love her work. And
she's amazing.
Yes, she is. And so she has a book already out called Little Leaders. And it's like, you know, these little leaders, and they're like little pint-sized characters of, you know, actual trailblazing black Americans. And she also has one that has African Americans, Latina, Chicano, all, you know, various cultures. And then this one here that I have listed is called Dream Big Little One. And it's like a, you know, a little board book, and that just came out probably like last week. And it's another kid's book, or anybody that's interested, that highlights trailblazing black women in American history. So everybody from like Bessie Coleman, Mae Jemison, Maya Angelou, Octavia Butler, and they have like little stories that correspond with it at the same time. So these are books like, this is like perfect because it's like for Christmas. I get these for my like nieces and, you know, just dish them out to everybody. So just something to definitely check out. And like I said, she's on Twitter. She's constantly always putting her work out there too. And I think she's on all social media, but definitely on Twitter.
Instagram
for sure.
Too. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, yeah.
That sounds real cool.
Yeah, definitely need to check that out.
Yeah. Actually, on that note, man, like, I will say we still need, I mean, well, it goes back to what Sean was saying about how, like, this is really an era, the best era so far, you know what I mean? And even for, you know, for having a little girl myself, there is way more available for her than I know there was, you know what I mean, when I was her age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the glass is half full. We still need to keep pushing, but there's some good stuff out there, though.
Oh yes, definitely. No, we still gotta keep pushing. We gotta keep doing, and you know, we can't stop. We can't stop, you know, and because there's definitely plenty of folks out there trying to tell us no in many different ways, and so you know, we still gotta push through. We gotta continue.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that those no's, especially the way that we're getting the no's now, though, they kind of can be the wind behind our backs, you know what I mean? Like, or the push, because, you know, when someone's really, when you try to push a people down enough, that's all the incentive they need to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's that motivation to continue to do and work your hardest. Two letter word. No. Word, I'm gonna prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have two more things. One, we didn't really talk about video games much at all. So I'm just gonna do my shout out for Spider-Man PS4. I've been talking to Marcus about this. This is probably one of the better games that you will see probably in the last few years. I compare it to Arkham City. Just in terms of the vastness of this game. And then another big reason why I love this game is Miles Morales is in this game.
Ooh.
As a playable character?
As playable as it can be. He's a part of the story.
Okay.
He also plays as Mary Jane, but again, not like in a free form way, like you're fighting people like you were able to do in Arkham City with Catwoman, but they're a part of the story. And just being a part of the story elevates this game to a higher level, in my opinion. So there's some origin stuff going on there, and it is when they make a sequel, and I know they will. I will not be surprised if he's featured and playable in it. So there's a lot of discussion about how diverse or lack of diversity that video games have. This one's really, really good, and I would definitely recommend it. And I'm also posting pictures of like me web slinging all the time because it's kind of cool because it's in New York City and it's like I'm swinging through my own neighborhood technically, but we won't go there. And then the final note that I have is Marcus is catching up on Voltron. Is that true?
I'm not completely caught up, but yes, I've been doing it while I've been drawing, but I'm pretty caught up. So yeah, because my daughter really loves it too, so we'll watch it together while I'm working.
And what are your thoughts?
Man, it gets real. Well, you have warned me. I remember I liked the first season, but you were like, oh man, nothing's happened yet, you know, at that point. And like, yeah, like I think I recently saw the moment when, well, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched, but there's, you know, Pidge has this throughout the series has a familial, you know, motivations for, yes, you know, for everything that she's doing, you know what I mean? And there's this whole, like, will she or won't she find her parents? And, yeah, man, there was some real feels moments.
Oh, absolutely. They've done such a great job in sort of expanding this universe. Not too many, you know, black folks. They're sprinkled every so often.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, they don't exist in space.
Right.
So, I am enjoying this more, and I really do believe that the way things are set up for the next season, that I've always said there's got to be a Car Voltron at some point. You know, where is it? And I feel like they're building up to that, especially the way the last season ended. But that's what I want, but that's not necessarily what they'll give us. So, but I'm glad you caught up. So,
yeah. Getting there.
And you know what's just getting there? The end of the show. It is 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Wow, so time is
flying. Time flies. And, you know, Sean, thank you for making the time fly. It was great. I think we miss being on the mic.
Yeah.
It's
very easy for us. So before we go, Sean, tell us where they can find you on the interwebs.
Yeah, the best place to find me, like on the interwebs, is normally on Twitter, at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, R Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R, at Sean R Pryor, just like Richard Pryor. Also, you can, if you want to find out what books I've been a part of or written or collaborated on, you can go to www.seanpryor.com. That will take you straight to my Amazon author page, and it will list every single book that I've been a part of, from Cash and Carry to Force to Kentucky Kaiju, to the backup story I wrote in Bingo Love Jackpot Edition, to a piece about Orrin C. Evans, one of the first black comic book publishers.
Yeah.
I wrote that for a piece in Apex Magazine earlier this year. And all the types of books that I've worked on. So if you go to www.seanpryor.com, that would take you to my Amazon page. Those two places are normally the best places to find me. I'm not really on Facebook that much. I might post something, but I really try not to look on there because it's a cesspool.
Yes, indeed.
You know.
No, I love hearing like-minded people because I felt like I was the Facebook Grinch for the longest. But yeah, now more and more people are like, yeah, I don't mess with Facebook that much.
You know,
I don't read it that much either.
Yeah, I use it to post because, like, you know, it's like, you know, I use it to post and things like that. But no, normally it's like Twitter. It's normally, you know, my quote unquote book website. And also I do a newsletter. It's called Take the Crown. And you can get that through Tiny Letter. So if you go to like tinyletter.com/takethecrown,
You can subscribe to my newsletter there, and it also has the archive. I actually wrote a newsletter, I think I want to say the week of Halloween, and I told the story about how as a five or six year old child, accidentally watching Alien on HBO, and how it scared the living bejesus out of me.
Yeah, I can see why that would happen. Yeah.
So if you need to check it out, I don't want to give it away, but you definitely want to check it out. But tinyletter.com/take the crown. And if you want to back and support the Cash and Carry Book 2 Kickstarter, like I said, you can go to Twitter. You can check my bio and click on the link, or you can go to cash-and-carrie.com. You can go to Kickstarter.com, type in Cash and Carry. There are lots of ways to get to the Kickstarter. I thank anyone and everyone who has supported the book, not just with your dollars, but with your retweets, your posts, word of mouth, all of it. It's appreciated, and I can't say thank you enough, because without y'all, this stuff don't exist. And I want to say special thanks to the entire Black Comics Chat crew for having me on yet again. I really appreciate y'all, and thank you so much.
And we will continue to have you on as long as
you're
doing such great work. Thank you.
Oh, be welcome. Thank you.
Grace, and where can people find you? And if you have anything coming up, please let us know.
Well, as I'm trying to graduate next year, I've kind of been on the low. So that's where I've been, and the disappearing act of being away from Black Comics Chat. So Twitter is mainly, and I pop in on Instagram every now and then, but I've been trying to resurface back into Twitter. I just would use it primarily for Black Comics Chat, but I'm trying to resurface, have more presence there. So, but that's if I resurface at all. So as of right now, I'm trying to write pages for these chapters. So, but if I do, you can catch me at GBreezy20 on Twitter or at LoveJones20 on Instagram.
That's such a dope title, G Breezy.
Yeah, I always think
it sound cool. Like
Grace has the best handles.
I'm just trying to be real chill about it, just real chill.
Mr. Kwame, tell us where they can find you, and if you're working on anything, let us know.
I definitely will, but first I have to say another out of the many reasons to follow Sean. Also, I gotta big up the Darcy the dog updates. It's been many a rough day I was going through, and then I would see one of Sean's updates about his dog, and it just brightened my day a little bit. So.
Thank you.
Shout out to the dog.
No problem. I'll make sure that she hears that. She's actually laying in her bed, one of her many beds in this house, in my office right now. Hey, Darcy, you got some love? You got some love. She just looked at me like, huh? Okay, yeah, I'm going back to sleep.
Right.
Yeah. She's like, does Marcus have any snacks? All right, then.
Right.
Exactly. I don't see no treats. I don't see no treats with these things.
Yeah. Sean, what kind of dog is she?
She is a lab hound mix.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's 9 years old. She's 9 years old, but she still acts like a puppy. And she is adorable and spoiled. And
when you said the mini beds, that was
Oh yeah, she got enough, because we got laminate floors, and so she don't want to lay on a laminate floor. She either gonna lay on the rug, on a little rug, or she gonna lay on her bed. And so there's beds everywhere. I'm like, you trip over a bed everywhere in this house.
Yeah, same with my dog.
Oh yeah, she got more bed. I got one bed. She got five.
Yeah.
Yes.
The life of a dog.
You ain't lying. You ain't lying.
And Tony, you might have already mentioned this, but didn't you expand your Star Wars cat?
I did. I did. But before I get into that, Marcus, did you tell people where?
Oh yeah. You can find me. Sorry, I got into the chat. I'm looking to start Pet Chat, an offshoot of Black Comic Chat. No, you can find me at MarcusKwame.com, and that's the place to find all my social media, everything I'm working on. And the name of the game right now, as far as what I'm making, is finishing up Cash and Carry, because I can't wait to see it in print. And for the successful campaign to happen so everyone can see it in print.
Awesome. Awesome. And for me, first name Anthony, last name Otero, you can check me out on the interwebs. I have, my website is anthonyotero.com, and that's pretty much like my blog, which I don't write anymore. I'm there. I've got links to all sort of my works. It will take you to my Goodreads page. That'll link you to both my books, Hanging Upside Down and The Book of Isabel. And it'll also take you to Puerto Rico Strong, which is still selling, to be quite honest with you. Sometimes I'm just like, it's still selling. Wow. So I wrote a story in that. So I'm still very happy and proud of that. Actually, if I can tell just a quick story. So in my real job, I'm in a higher education, and I was at a conference in Penn State this past weekend, and part of the regional team for the conference, they put together a superhero themed basket, in which they had like a Marvel encyclopedia, they had like Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, Black Panther, they had a couple of Pops things, like anything superhero, or they thought was superhero, and then I had Puerto Rico Strong in there. That basket went for $250.
Nice.
And mainly because they had asked me to speak about the book, and I tried not to get emotional about it, and how, you know, the people in Puerto Rico and how they've been struggling since Hurricane Maria, even though things are better. So I'm still very kind of happy that, you know, these things are still taking place to help people in Puerto Rico. So on a personal note, before I get to the Star Wars cats, I am kind of working on a project. It's really slow going. I've talked to Marcus about it before. I'm trying to develop a webcomic. So I'm trying to start small, as Sean was saying. You know, the story's already sort of written. I say sort of. I've wrote like maybe 40 pages of just comic book script. I've already have an artist. We've kind of talked and met. So not a lot of people know this. So I'm just letting you all know now that I am in the middle of working on it. However, my real job is stressful. And a lot of times I'm working to pay the bills than I am to do this. But I am trying. So, you know, going on to my Star Wars cats. So I have a cat, first cat that I had that we got in June. His name is Kylo. Black Sea cat. Cat is kind of pushing. We named him Kylo because of his attitude. this cat's all over the place. So we just got another cat, like literally last week, and we called him Poe. And he is very appropriately named because he's charming and loves jump far, so it's like he's flying. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's jumped like, we have our bed is a certain place, and then we have the dresser, and it's just this wide open space I would never think that a kitten could make. He makes it all the time. And first of all, I'm like, why are you jumping? Like, you just got neutered. Like, what's wrong with you? So it's all good. I'm only getting two. I'm usually a dog person, but I've really gotten into these cats. So it's all good.
All right.
And that concludes Pet Chat.
That concludes the Pet Chat version of Black Comics Chat. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to our guest again, Sean Pryor. Have a good night. And this was a great show. Thanks a lot. Have a good night, everyone.
Yes. Till the next time.
Till the next time. Peace out.
Black Comics Chat.